Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I've started Harry Potter. I'm ready for Christmas.
I know every single word to every single film.
Really?
When I started to watch the first one with my partner the other night, I was literally just saying everyone, he was like, pause it. He was like, we cannot go on like this.
Harry Potter.
That's take my move.
That's because of that tick. I've seen
Snape
that.
From getting that stone or not.
So funny.
Well, welcome, Anoni.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome to the listeners back to the group chat.
Yes. We should actually start off by saying this is our first group chat since our rebrand to Lux Gem. I don't know if you noticed that.
Cool.
Lovely little card there, Anoni.
Very chic.
But for those who don't know, we have rebranded Lux Girl to Lux Gem. Still all the same gals, same content, but we're just changing up the branding a bit. But yeah, very excited to have you on today.
For those listening that don't know Anoni, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you probably do, but Anoni is an author, content creator, podcaster. You're a bit of everything. So we're here just to find out a bit more about your journey. Well, I feel like I know your whole life because I read your book, Bad Influence, on a flight out for my girls' holiday. And I was expecting to have the book the whole holiday, and I read it on the plane on the way out. And I was like, fuck's sake, now I need another book. But it was just fantastic. But can you share a bit more about your journey to becoming a content creator and now an author?
I love that you're calling it a content creator, because when people say influence, I'm like, which is kind of what the whole book is about, but I am one. When I was at university, I was studying English literature, and I kind of the background noise my whole young adolescence was really bad body image and a really bad relationship with food. And I would kind of, as much as I wanted to be successful in other areas and I was like cared about my friendships and stuff, there was always this little thing in the back of my mind, if I could just lose weight. So I got a personal trainer and I got really lean, and it was the kind of like in the really big diet culture era, and everyone was into bodybuilding and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I found the answer to weight loss. I need to tell all of these women. And basically what I've been doing was starving and exercising twice a day. So it wasn't a good way, but I thought somewhere I was like, I finally achieved this like lifelong goal. And so I started posting that on Instagram because that was what I was following on Instagram, those kind of accounts. And I would post lots of before and afters. And at the time, I really meant these captions, which are all about like, I can show you how to do it. Like, it's actually really easy, because I didn't know about calories or like exercise and understanding of that. But also what was happening kind of at the same time, unbeknownst to me, was I was obviously getting like massive dopamine rushes from all the likes. And I was getting quite addicted to posting. And still to this day, any kind of like before and after side-by-side photo will kind of get a lot of interaction. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it's like the germination of my Instagram started. And it wasn't an intentional thing, but the mixture of kind of me thinking this was useful to post about and people really engaging with it meant that I really started to put a lot into it. And so I spent sort of like my last few years at uni doing my degree, but also just for no real reason, posting loads on my Instagram and spending hours and hours like interacting with people that followed me and creating content and doing stuff. And then by the time I left uni, an influencer had kind of come into mainstream lexicon, and it was a word and it was a thing. And I spoke to a talent agency and I got management, and then it was my job. But I didn't realize that I'd been kind of working towards that.
Yeah.
In the background, it was happened. Like very fortuitous that I was basically in the right place at the right time, talking about the right kind of thing.
And I do think that's like the best way to kind of go into it. I think people who go into it thinking, I want to be an influencer, I want to be famous, like it doesn't ever really happen.
Yeah.
It's having that genuine, like, I'm sharing, I'm speaking to my like following, whatever it is.
Well, also I think it's harder now because it's like, first of all, it's so saturated. People know what influencers are. Instagram was a lot smaller. Like there was no one with like a million followers. Mm-hmm. When I had 3,000 followers, me and my friends went out on a night out to celebrate. We were like, oh my God, I'm famous. Like it was like, oh, okay. Like in Cardiff, like, oh my God, people are gonna recognize me. It was such a big thing. And so, and also you could go viral. Like, do you remember when TikTok first came around and people would just go,
I would
have like 1,000 followers and my likes would be like 20,000 likes. Like that's actually crazy. Impossible on Instagram now. So it was like everything happened really quickly. And so you get that feedback loop, which makes you want to keep posting. Whereas now, like if you want to be an influencer, unless you're really lucky or you blow up really quickly, it's going to take years to build that audience. And it can be quite disheartening because people's stuff just doesn't get seen in the same way.
But what would you say is kind of like the harder side of being like so front facing and so like online?
I think it's definitely like the exposure and like the paranoia that comes with having lots of people being aware of you in your life. Mm. I read this thing, I can't remember, Dolly Alderson said this the other day, and I don't know if it was in that interview with Annie Lord or if it was on that podcast that she did with Annie Mack. But she was saying that her therapist, she was talking to her therapist about dealing with kind of like online commentary. And she basically just realized, I just can't do it. And I was like, that's really actually refreshing to hear, because I got loads of friends in the public eye and things used to really get to me. And they'd be like, we just need to like not think about it. Like, it doesn't matter what they say. And I'd be like, I can't, I don't have that. And it was really nice to hear someone saying that not everyone is built to deal with that level of intrusive inquiry. Some of my friends literally don't care. They're like, my work comes first. Whatever anyone says about it is like a byproduct that I'm not interested in. Whereas I found the further I got into it and the older I got and felt more self-conscious of how aware people were of me, I actually was like, no, I want to hide. I don't want people to know things about me.
You spoke about that in the book, didn't you? Yeah. Did the podcast come about?
Right. So by the time I moved to London, I was basically a fitness influencer and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it felt like I'd landed this like dream job. And then I got to London and I was like, I've never actually been interested in fitness. Like this is not like, and now I love exercise. It's like a really important component of my day, but it's not something I want to sit and talk about all the time. I find it very boring to talk about. And I loved helping women find, you know, confidence and stuff. But I then started working as a PT in London to like subsidize my career as an influencer because I wasn't really making any money. And I just realized that every day just talking to women about weight loss was really draining. And no matter how much you tried to dress it up or no matter how much you tried to like create caveats where we distracted around, it was always still just about women's bodies every single day. All people wanted to talk to me about were like bums and abs. I was like, this is not my thing. So I also, having moved to London and started like to get really invested in feminism and conversations around privilege, I became like really hyper aware of my privilege and like how posh I was. And so I had this kind of other reckoning where I was like, God, I feel really dumb actually about the world. And I want to learn more about intersectional feminism and I want to learn more about politics. And I just feel like there's so much of my education has just been very kind of whitewashed and class washed and I didn't know a lot. And I was getting really curious. And so I started my podcast, Adulting, which is about all the things you didn't get taught in school, because I quite literally felt like I didn't get taught so much stuff in school. And growing up in quite a rural part of Somerset, I was in an area that was like quite remote. It wasn't very diverse. I went to a private school with a lot of people who, well, there was a mixture, obviously, but it was like quite well-off people. And so I was just like, God, I actually have so many blinkers on and so many people are like this because the way that history is written and the way the lessons are taught, whatever. So the idea was that I would speak to interesting people that knew more about the world and I was kind of the ignorant participant in the conversation, asking the questions and never having any answers was the kind of the format.
And you've spoken to loads of people on your podcast and it gained huge traction. Who were some of the highlights on your pod?
Sarah Pascoe is one of my highlights because when I first started it, I wrote a list of like my dream guests and I used to email her for years and she would just never reply. And then one day I emailed her and she said yes. And I was like, because in that time, the podcast had gone from like an idea to being like a thing where I had like had interesting guests on before. I was always really surprised when anyone said yes. And at the beginning, it was like obviously really hard. And then as you go along, it would get easier to like get people because once they saw a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you could put that and then they'd be like, okay, we'll do it. And so it was always really exciting. So
we can go back to the book. And one thing I thought was, well, resonated with us as our age group and stuff was you obviously were having a life online, but also navigating relationship breakups, friendships, all of that kind of thing at university. How was that?
Right. So when I first started, because I didn't really understand the internet and the same that we do now, and Instagram wasn't the same thing. I was just telling everyone everything. I was on Instagram all day long. My stories were like 24 hours of my day. Including like me and my boyfriend going out on a day, being absolutely wasted, coming back home, singing and smoking in the kitchen. I wake up in the morning, be like, delete, delete, delete. Like I wasn't filtering anything. Yeah. And there was no real bad repercussions. Like everyone was really nice. I think when you have a really small following in the beginning, people are kind to you. It's kind of when you get bigger that that you get kind of issues. So at the beginning, I didn't really see anything wrong with it. And if anything, I kind of loved sharing my relationship because I think I'd always felt a little bit like a misfit and I never really knew where my place was and I loved showing the world that I was, you know, in love and my life was fun and blah blah blah. Every relationship, and there's been a few, I've like slowly cornered off more and more because I've realized that, and now I don't share my relationship at all. And I actually went for dinner with a friend last night and I was like, it's the best thing I've ever done. I think sometimes, especially as a content creator, when you share too much of your relationship, it's literally like you're giving out stocks and shares in your relationship, and you start to lose ownership of
and
your,
people
like,
have opinions, don't
people
they?
Have so many opinions, and also then it becomes part of your brand, and then so like some of your income relies on your relationship, and then that causes a strain, and like, so there's all of these other complications which can have massive payoffs, but actually I found were kind of like detrimental to the happiness of my relationship. Like anything, I've kind of been learning on the job. I shared everything and that helped me grow my Instagram. And then as my Instagram started to grow, I wanted to cordon it off. But then people are like, well,
yeah,
sorry. We've entered in a contract here. You were telling me about your life and now you're suddenly like not telling me things. So that became difficult as well.
So you mentioned off pod that you've got a new pod perhaps around the corner.
Yes.
Can you give us some more info?
I can't. So this has been in the works for over a year. So it's me and two other women, Beth McColl and Rashira Sharma. And it's going to be called Everything is Content. And it's a pop culture podcast, but it's kind of about the noise that happens after the pop culture. So we're kind of analysing the online discourse that comes off of every popular thing.
Right.
And that's hopefully going to be launching in December.
And another book? Would you be, after this one, would you be up for another one?
I've always wanted to write fiction, and I was quite resistant to actually writing memoir, and I'd had like a book deal offer before Base of Adulting, and I was like, I can't write a book on this because that's, the whole podcast is not about my stories. It's not my place to tell those stories. My agent kept being like, should really write a book, and nothing kind of came to me. And then after a year, I rang my agent one day and I was like, can I swear? I was like, I fucking hate being called an influencer. And she laughed. She was like, that's really funny. Why don't you try and write something about, like, that's what you always want to talk about, but you feel like you can't online because it's like biting the hand that feeds you. Yeah. That's the story you actually want to tell. Yeah. So I wrote that as a memoir, but I found it really hard because I think it's much easier to be honest in fiction than it is in a memoir because you can kind of tell the truth through
other things. Actually, yeah.
And when you're writing memoir, it's like there's so many things where it's other people's stories, and I never really wanted to. Some people in their memoirs, I know people who've written memoirs and fallen out with their whole family.
Yeah, or they've like, revealed too much.
Because they've revealed too much, and I never wanted to do that, and I wanted to be honest, but I also think that sometimes honesty is like, I also didn't want to give my trauma, as so many women find themselves having to do, to like sell books. So I told things I was comfortable telling, but I was also like, there's certain things that I don't owe anyone certain things. So it was, I found that process quite difficult. I also went on a journey of unpacking what this industry is. And it's always something I tripped up on kind of talking about it. And I felt loads of shame around it, to be quite honest. So yes, I would like to write fiction, basically, was the answer to that question. But it would be very different in vein. Like the kind of fiction I've always wanted to write, it's not like, I don't know, I love sci-fi. So
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I will read that.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it's been great to find out a bit more.
But how is everyone?
Yeah, fab. Yeah. I'm feeling good. I was really upset about the rain this morning, but other than that, I'm feeling...
feeling the autumn vibes. Like, I really sank into it this weekend. I've started Harry Potter. I'm ready for Christmas.
I didn't see this whole trend about watching it every weekend, but randomly I started watching it with my partner last weekend. So we did Chamber of Secrets last night.
So just to clarify to our listeners, if you watch one, is it every
Sunday
weekend?
Something. Yeah.
Was it meant to start this weekend? This Sunday just gone.
Yeah. And so if you watch every weekend from now, you basically will get till Christmas with the amount of movies there are.
And guys, I think our listeners know I've only ever watched the first and the last Harry Potter. And my boyfriend's literally like, I don't know
why.
I was out there climbing trees. Oh, I wasn't really watching Harry Potter. I must have missed this whole part of my life.
So I was also an outdoor child that I used to get locked outside of. I read loads of books, so that's why I watched Harry Potter films, because I would read the books. My mum used to live in the Lake District, and she would drive us to Glasgow at midnight to get the books when they came out.
Oh, wow.
And you used to be able to get them. So that's why I was like obsessed with the films. But I've watched every film so many times that me and one of my best friends, Bethan, we used to watch them all the time. I know every single word to every single film.
Really?
When I started to watch the first one with my partner the other night, I was literally just saying every word. He was like, pause it. He was like, we cannot go on like this. I was like, sorry, it's just like a reflex. We used to sit next to each other and watch them and just say
just
all the lines.
Genuinely, especially the first two. Yeah. I watched the first two this weekend and I'm like, I genuinely know every single line. Especially the chess one that's like going viral at the moment.
I know that and I'm not watched Harry Potter.
That's take my move.
That's because of that tick. I've seen
Snake
that.
From getting that stone or not.
So funny.
Well, actually, Jack has said he's tried to. So we watched the second one yesterday. It's on in the background and I'm kind of...
How? I'm literally that.
I know. I know. I just,
I think I'd love it.
I always think about when I watch it, because obviously I know everything that's going to happen. Yeah. Like, if I was watching the first time, like, same. How good is that? All the twists and turns and the, oh my God, this happened.
And also, that's what that now is. That you're older, you notice how many things are in there, how many details are like in the film.
All, yeah. all intertwined. Yeah.
But maybe also, maybe it is a nostalgia thing, because I was thinking there's no other film that I can watch apart from maybe like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and 50 First Dates. Like those I've watched about 80 times, but... Yeah. What other film can I sit through and I'm literally like rocked?
Yeah,
I'm like
School of Rock.
Yeah, so
yeah, that is a good one. Do you have any other like Christmassy autumny traditions at this time of year?
Gavin and Stacey.
Oh,
I always watch Gavin.
I might get that
at Christmas time.
That's such a good one.
So good. I need to start that maybe next weekend.
I obviously have to watch The Holiday sometimes twice in the lead up to Christmas.
Is it too early to do it now?
I'm trying to not start letting myself get Christmassy till the 1st of December.
Really? Okay.
I say 1st of November.
Yeah, you're
soon
really
as
early,
Halloween
yeah.
is done, I'm ready. I tried to put decorations up yesterday and got told off my boyfriend.
He's yeah. like, not yeah, yet. My housemate came back with a huge bag of decorations yesterday. Really?
I used to be like that quite early, but then I think you get fatigued.
Really?
I'm ignoring. I saw some of Megan Grubb was like, we had our first Christmas, and I was like, not looking at it. Not watching. Don't want to know.
No, but I just find that otherwise, every year I'm like, oh, just didn't last as long as I wanted to.
I love it being really magical and really in a pack. Yeah, so my family have always been, we'll get the tree on like the 15th to 17th.
It's quite December.
My mum puts up on Christmas Eve.
No way.
Apparently that's a Catholic Irish thing.
Okay, yeah.
I've ordered one for not next weekend, but the
weekend
after.
Have you? Decorations are freaking expensive.
I know. I've slowly, since I've obviously lived on my own, I've slowly started collecting a couple every year. I haven't done the whole like, ordered loads,
but I haven't done really fancy ones. But my mum always has like glass clear decorations that look so nice. So I've started doing that, collecting like glass ones and then a few kind of material ones.
I have like objects,
yeah,
like a shoe or like
yeah.
a pizza.
Yeah, but, you have quite anthropology vibes.
Yeah. But actually, HomeSense is the best place for them. Okay. I get them. You can get them for so cheap and they have those like cloth ones. And
all Oliver Bonus is actually really good as well.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, collecting them.
But 2024 is like round the corner, so we're going to be setting our New Year's resolutions quite soon.
I've already bought my diary for next year and written all the things I want to do.
Really?
Oh,
that's good.
I found it really
part of your book.
Yeah, I love it.
I was really late to the party this year. I remember saying to everyone in the office, like, "Fuck, I still haven't done my mood board." Like, you were really good.
I do my mood board in December, like when we're done with work, and it's like those few days leading up to Christmas. That's when I do it, or after Christmas and until like New Year.
I think it's because this time of year can feel quite demotivating. Like, you just, I think my brain is still wired to be like at school. I'm waiting for like half term and then Christmas break. So if I write like next year I really want to achieve XYZ, then I get a bit excited about like, oh, maybe I'll start planning and it kind of motivates me. Otherwise I'm just a bit like, that's all just break for the
holidays. Are we not
holidays.
Still trying to achieve this? Like, I feel like there's still
I know,
so much
but I
know
I've given up.
People,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, a lot of people slow down now. So this is also a good time to like get your head above the parapet and be like, right, I'm gonna keep going until the end of the year.
I do think it's a good time for reflection though, because you actually don't realise on your mood board, on your whatever, how many things you've achieved. Like when you actually look back on it at this time of year, you're like, fuck, oh, I actually
or
did
how many
all
things
that
you
stuff.
Didn't achieve.
All that. Let's be positive, girls.
But I think we're gonna move on to the hot list now and discuss what's going on right now.
I know. Well, seeing as you said you were gonna do a podcast about pop culture, like, you're gonna be great at this. So obviously you said you're not really on TikTok, but hopefully you've seen bits of these. So Taylor Swift, are you a Taylor Swift fan?
Yes, yes.
Okay, have you seen how she changed the lyrics to one of her songs at her concert? You haven't seen it?
Well, wait, when? Recently?
Literally, it was this weekend.
Yeah, must have been. Oh, no, I wouldn't have seen that,
So you know the song Karma?
Yes.
So, like, after the bridge, it's like, what is it? Karma is the guy on the screen coming straight home to me. She changed it to Karma is the guy on, what's it called? The Chiefs coming straight home to me. And the crowd literally went crazy. And then everyone's got, like, shots of what's his name, Travis, like reacting to
it. Travis Kelce. Oh
yeah. Her boyfriend.
His reaction was quite cute. He was
really
just like,
sweet. And like, her dad was next to him as well. Like, oh, it's you.
He's so hot. But do you not think Taylor goes public with boyfriends like immediately?
Yes. And also,
even when they're not boyfriends.
Yeah. But she's like, I think she's like obsessed, like in love with him. Because even after the show, there's videos of him like, her even running off stage into his arms, like snogging. Yeah. She really does look in love though.
I'm a bit worried about it.
Are you?
I don't know. I just got a feeling it's going to be like, I feel like it's going to break her heart.
But I think that's what I love about her is that she wears her heart on her
sleeve. Yeah,
that is nice. She will just go fully into things. And I think that's what creates such good like music for her as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
selfishly.
She's unapologetic.
Yeah.
I feel like it's such an interesting thing because I feel like we're in a generation where it's like, I brought my current partner, we've been on and off a bit, to my sister's wedding and my family would be like, oh, your boyfriend. I'd be like, no, 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 we're just seeing each other. He's like literally at my sister's wedding. I was like, we're not together, we're not together. Like so worried about labeling things too soon or like coming across too strong. And she will go on like one date with someone and they're just like everywhere.
But I think that's so like, I think that's really good because it's sort of like nothing's permanent.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to worry about it. If they're gone the next day, they're gone. Yeah. You can move on. Everyone else can move on. So it's true. Not that big of a deal. Like, I think it's quite nice that she just lives life like that.
Yeah, I think all right. I did think her ex was a bit of a drip.
Yeah. Who was that again?
Joe Alwyn.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so bad in conversations with the friends, it just made me hate him. Because I love Sally Rooney and I thought he ruined that series for
me. Oh, my God. I know. I watched one episode and I couldn't get any further.
And he just wasn't fit enough. No offense. Yeah. Not like charismatic. I just...
Yeah, he
was. Anyways, that really pissed me off. So when they broke up, I was really pleased. But then obviously she got with Matt TV.
Oh, God, yeah. What was that face?
She really does just go, like...
I know.
But that's what I mean. Even that was just, like, public and then he's gone.
Well, I've got to say, like, I think everyone really makes Taylor Swift's relationship such a big deal. Obviously, I do. I speak about them all the time because I love her. But, like, people make it like, oh, she's from this person to this person. Men do that all the bloody time. And we don't pay them any attention. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio, God, he's got another 25-year-old every week.
I didn't think there's anything wrong with that. I just find it really fascinating how she's just sort of, like...
And she is that.
And she is so big. I mean, Maya Jama and Stormzy were together for how long before we found out?
That's
how
true.
Are they managing there?
Harry Styles shaving his head. Thoughts?
Oh my God.
I like it.
I love a shaved head.
Yeah, so do I.
I also think it's probably because of the David Beckham documentary and everyone being like, David should shave his head again. Yeah, genuinely. And also, I don't get why people care.
No, I was thinking that.
I think it's a fit thing to do.
I really like it. I think it shows confidence.
I think he is like, his charisma is what makes him so fit. And I think it's not really to do with his hair. So people are like, oh my God, is his hair? But
people are like mourning his hair.
I have to say, I'm a big fan of Taylor Swift, but I'm not a Swiftie. There's no one that I'm like a fan of in that way.
I'm a bit like that. I'm a bit... sort of neutral. Yeah.
So I find it shocking to see people being like about his hair, being like, oh my God, I can't. I was like, why do you care?
Yeah.
Like, hair goes back so quickly.
It's probably just for a role.
Boys get their hair cut like every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like, it's crazy. Were fans this obsessed in the past?
I mean,
or do you think it's worse because
it's just him? I think they're just obsessed with him. Anything he does, like any...
No,
like,
but all of these fandoms are quite extreme.
They
come across on like Twitter or whatever.
You know, back in the day when I was watching, we'll probably talk about it later, the Robbie Williams documentary.
I haven't watched it. I need to watch it. Everyone's been telling me to watch
it. It's better than the Beckham doc.
Okay.
I don't know what you thought of that, but it was... Yep. It's a lot less controlled.
Okay.
In terms of he was literally just sat in his box. He was in his pants and he was replaying all this footage that was recorded from his childhood and he'd never seen it. So he was stopping it. Speaking about it, so a lot of it was quite traumatic because, anyway, I'm sure we'll touch on it.
Yeah.
But Robbie, he also had a lot of haircuts and a lot of
How did people really react to it?
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit like
actually
Hailey
they
Bieber.
Did in David Beckham's documentary. Yeah, they were really shocked. He did.
I don't understand. I love it. It's like
very strange.
But yeah, Hailey Bieber when she chopped her hair, there was a bit of a backlash. Now I can't think of her without her short hair.
Yeah, I love her short hair.
Who else is? Done extreme haircut.
Emma Watson, when she did that pixie cut, people were like, damn.
I really tie identity to my hair. And I think if I'd shaved my hair, people would be like, what's going on here? But I don't know.
Luckily, I think you could shave your head because you've got a little face. I'd love to shave my head. I was so jealous when Iris Thorall shaved her head. It's like one of my dreams is to be able to shave my head.
She wants to do it.
But I don't have the right face or head shape for it.
I'm really rough.
You actually genuinely could do it. I'm actually quite cross.
Yeah. I don't think I will, but thank you very much.
I think it looks so... I love it. Like, yeah. Iris Thorall is like my number one girl crush.
Same.
And she, her hair.
Oh, she rocks it.
She's so good. Yeah.
And have you seen her long, dark brown hair? Like, it looks great, but this just really suits
her. I was actually quite surprised at that, and I was like, God, this has just elevated you to like top model.
I think it just shows confidence. Like,
yeah,
I love
for
it.
Sure.
What else has been going on?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Timothy Chalamet on SNL.
So he's been on it before as well with a couple other guests, and he did this like repeated skit where he's, I think he's like is like a rapper or something. His name's like Young Cheddar. I can't remember what it is.
Is it like what he did when he was at school?
Yes, like Timmy. So he basically did another one of that, and then the one I sent you was,
yes,
when
that was
he
quite funny.
Did Troye Sivan. So you know that viral dance that's going
around.
Of him, like, you just got me started.
He can't really do it.
But he basically did that.
Troye Sivan is gorgeous.
I am obsessed.
Did you watch his home tour on Architect Digest?
No. Oh, it was amazing.
Amazing.
Because I only heard of him after I watched The Idol, which was
terrible.
Oh,
really? Obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I love his music. Sorry, if you liked it. Did you like it? No, good. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
I've followed him since he was on back on YouTube days.
Have you?
Yeah.
Cause he was, maybe like, it's because I'm old.
Yeah, Lola's nodding. She's been...
Yeah. He was in that gang with Zoella and Alfie, and like they were really good friends.
See, I never even... Wait,
Casper Lee? No, he's South African.
I only know who that is because I found his girlfriend. I love her.
Oh, Casper Lee's girlfriend.
Yes, Amber. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I like he was her. In that crew, and then he like started doing music, and now he's like obviously a huge pop star. Huge. Like,
yeah, and I love his music videos.
Yeah, they are great, aren't they?
The one with Ross Lynch. Have you seen the one with Ross Lynch? Is it called One of Your Girls? Where he dresses
but he's
drag.
In drag, and he's absolutely stunning in drag.
Oh my God.
He looks amazing. I love that song. How does that song go again?
I've forgotten how it goes.
Do you know what else I didn't realise? That cuffing season song.
Yeah,
that
was from SNL. Yeah, it's from SNL.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's cuffing season. I thought it was a genuine Christmassy song.
No, it was from SNL. It's from SNL. You guys need to watch SNL. Great.
I didn't, and I literally saw someone. They were like, "It's so good that no one realized it was an SNL skit." Yeah, and I was like, "You're joking."
I kept hearing it. And I was trying to search for it on Spotify.
You can't
and
listen
I was
to
like,
it
anymore. Where is this song? I was like, wait, it's only from SNL.
She should release it as a single. Yeah, she should. I mean, it's a huge sound on TikTok.
Well, if you hear the whole thing, it's not actually. That
oh right. Okay.
There's like some. It's more funny.
Where have I even heard it then? I just thought it was
TikTok.
A song.
It's TikTok and Instagram. People use it as sounds. Yeah.
Because I watched the Taylor Swift documentary when that first came out a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah.
I missed over. That was really good. And then obviously I watched David one, but and then I remember there was the Selena Gomez one. But I haven't watched Lewis Capaldi's. Everyone's got one.
Everyone.
And I kind of find it a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, people are almost saying it's a bit narcissistic. Like there's
it is a little bit. But I think it's also like for those people who were so big, they're not going to be their daily vlogging on TikTok. They're not going to be their posting every day on Instagram. They need something for their fans to like. People like that stuff too.
Well, I think it's similar to me writing a memoir, to be honest, because it's explaining all the things that you feel are misunderstood that you can't get across really easily. But then it's like there's so much to take in. And I was talking to a friend who's a journalist the other day about how you don't get those amazing celebrity interviews anymore from journalism because people can just tell their own story. Like instead of David Beckham and Victoria doing like, I'm sure they do an amazing Vogue piece or something, which I actually do really enjoy. Because I do think these people have their own production companies and teams. Yeah. I think they're absolutely within their rights to tell things from their point of view.
Agreed.
But I do feel oversaturated sometimes with information. And this sounds awful, but sometimes when you know too much, the sparkle goes away. Like one person I would say I'm very obsessed with is Kate Moss.
Yeah.
And that's very much because you cannot really find anything out about her. So and when she does interview, I don't watch it because I don't want to know.
Interesting. Yeah. It does keep that. Yeah.
I love seeing all the pictures of her. I love all the like imagining, like, I love rumour.
Yeah. But the Robbie Williams doc, what was so fascinating was, I don't know how sort of contrived it was because it seemed very raw because he was watching back this footage that was recorded and it was going through, you kind of, you adored him at the beginning and then you went through a bit where you absolutely fucking hated him and then you adored him again. Right. And he was sort of explaining, he was like, you know, the next bit's going to be really difficult to watch because I was a teenage boy that was, really struggling. So he kind of, you see the full raw emotion, but you don't hear anything about his parents. Okay. They never come into it. You never hear nothing about his childhood. And then you no one else is in the dock. You know how you normally, like in the David Beckham
talk, yeah.
So she comes in it towards the end, and the teenage daughter, but they give none of their opinions, or they don't speak. So
I have heard it's really good.
It's incredible. Mm.
But again, so I was with another friend, she just watched it, and she was like, she's single, and she was like, I've just realised that the way I'm going to find happiness, Robbie Williams was so depressed, and then he met his wife, and I was happy. She's like, that's what I need to do. And I was like, babe, I've listened to him on a podcast before. Robbie Williams wakes up at midday, goes and plays golf. He doesn't do any childcare. And I remember listening to this podcast, and they were like arguing about it. And I think they're really in love, and I don't think she minds. But I was like, honey, this only works for men. As a woman, you're never going to get married, have a child, and be like, my life is now better and easier.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Like, and so I'm interested to watch the documentary, because that stayed with me so much, that he will be like, oh, I've got a work thing. He does Zoom calls like in bed without a top on. Like, he's obviously...
Oh, yeah, he was literally like, just in his pants.
She clearly finds it really endearing, but like, I couldn't be with a man doesn't look after his children.
Yeah. But young Robbie, he was
stunning. Yeah.
He was a stunned dog.
Sure. But there's a really iconic video of him being on stage. I remember this gave me like funny flutters when I was younger. And he pulls up a fan and he just snogs her. And it's like the
yes, give that one Matty Healy.
You've ever seen. Yeah, but Matty Healy's such like budget. Yeah, and it was so sexy. And everyone's like, and you watch it and you're like, imagine that being
imagine.
But also, if that happened nowadays, you'd get
cancelled. Yes.
Yeah. But at the time, very sexy.
That's if Harry Styles did that.
Oh my God.
Bloody hell, the internet would break, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've just remembered also the Met Gala theme has been released.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So I think it's called, I've got it written down, but I'm pretty sure it's Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's like 50 pieces of like archival pieces that are like too delicate to ever be worn again. And it's like incredible. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, they were saying it's almost like a dig to Kim K.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say because it's like honouring it, not wearing it.
Yes, and like they were like, she's squeezed into Marilyn Monroe's dress.
I think she ripped it.
Yeah, she did.
She ruined,
they've got 50 archival ones that they're going to bring back to life using AI.
And people are going to reimagine old girls. Yeah,
exactly. So I think it's pretty awesome.
I do think it's really good. The only thing I'm thinking is it's like, is it going to be a bit like the year and Blake Lively's amazing this year when she did the transformation dress.
Heavenly Bodies. Yes.
Yeah, I feel it's just close to that because it's going to be a lot of like Marie Antoinette kind of like.
Well, I don't know, because I think people might play on like the Sleeping Beauties bit and go quite like nightwear and like
that's
feathery.
But then I want the Met Gala to be very much like costume, as in like
which is what it's meant to be.
The Capitol from the Hunger Games.
Yes.
But often they're just like doing that Carly Kloss looking camp right in the eye look, and I'm like, that's such a
I
want it to be like Lady Gaga always smashes it, which for
is,
me
because that's what it's meant to, is the costume institute.
Kim K wearing that Marilyn Monroe dress, again I understood that there's like wow factor of it, but it was ultimately a very boring look.
Yeah, it was just a pretty dress.
And also the one thing I'll never get over is how much we were told that Marilyn Monroe was this size 16 woman. And Kim Kardashian, by the way, is 4 foot something. Her waist is so small.
Yeah,
she's tiny. The fact that she couldn't fit into, and I know it was her bottom, but also it wasn't. It was like the whole shape. It just shows Marilyn Monroe must have been absolutely
tiny.
So small. I can't even wrap my head around how small she must have been. And because she wasn't like flat everywhere, everyone was like, and I remember people saying to us like, oh my God, well, Marilyn Monroe was a size 16. She was clearly a size 2.
Yeah, clearly she was.
And she wasn't a size 16 in what we understand it to be today.
But also it's sponsored by TikTok next year.
Is it? I didn't know that.
But I think it's bringing a bit of controversy because there are going to be more influencers attending the Met Gala. And I don't know what...
I mean, every year there's a few more.
Always.
Well, I guess...
They want to stay with the zeitgeist though, don't they? Yeah. Like, they want to stay current.
But influencers are the new celebrities.
Emma Chamberlain now is an it girl. Like, she's beyond...
And that's who, I don't know about you, but that's who I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I think that she's great and she's really the high fashion. And then again, I think this is the problem with the word influencer, because you have, everyone does it the minute you say it, your brain kind of goes like, Geordie Shore, early Kim Kardashian. Like this kind of quite judgmental view on typically women who we believe aren't classy enough or stylish enough or highbrow enough to be in these celebrity spaces.
Yeah.
But like, it's just... If you think about like what influencers are, they're kind of like tastemakers. They're like
exactly.
It girls, but just online.
They're influential like... people when you like break it down. Like and Kim Kardashian, for example, like, obviously people think of her in that like not very nice light. but she like has done a lot, like everything she did with the law and like the lawyer thing. But she, like, that's really interesting.
But she, and it's just like, what would those women, like, would Sienna Miller and Kate Moss and whoever else, like, in that era, if they'd grown up, would they be like the It Girls?
Yeah.
I very much feel like, actually, I do have obsessions. Mimi Mucha, Remy Beckinsale.
Oh, yeah, we love her.
Mia Regan, obsessed. Yeah. She is so fucking cool. She's an influencer. She's a model, but she's an influencer. Yeah. Like, but you don't think of her when you say
that. No, that's what I mean. I feel like someone like Emma Chamberlain or Kim Kardashian, I see them as very different from someone like a Mimi Mucha, because she is, this is a horrible thing to say, but just a model. Like, she is just a model who is influential. She's on Instagram.
She's posting. I think she's an absolute style icon. I think she's like,
so?
She has hairy armpits, which I think is really cool. Is, and like, yeah, yeah, someone of my generation going out with the Beckham with hairy armpits, I think is very cool. She does loads of like sustainable fashion stuff. I don't know. I think modeling is a career in of itself. I think she's quite political in like some aspects. She's quite feminist. I don't think she doesn't stand for anything. So I mean, very defensive.
No, good. No.
But I just think,
I don't know her well enough though to know that she does all that. Because that to me is more interesting.
I guess it's not like outwardly spoken, but it's like she does a lot of her things are about like kind of sustainable fashion. When I think of her, because I feel a lot older than her, I think she, what a great role model. I would have loved to have followed her when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's funny because influencers have been around for a really long time now. Yeah. And everyone follows them, and it's kind of like gauche to admit that you like influencers. Yeah. But Caroline O'Donoghue said something really good in her podcast, Sentimental Garbage, which was like, saying you don't like influencers is like being like, oh, I don't listen to pop music. It's just such a nothing thing to say because everyone has pop songs they like. And it's like, because influencers are like kind of the mainstream of the celebrity world, they're kind of the lowest hanging fruit. Like, we see pop music. I love pop music, by the way.
I think people generalize as well of like, when you say influencer, like what I just said, oh, they're just this or they're just that. Yeah. Like, you generalize because you think that's all you see.
Yeah.
But really, there is so much more to people than just like, oh, they're just an influencer. They're just a model, like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who's actually on the carpet next. Yeah. Is it in May? I think it's May. Early May,
Who was there? Like, was Dixie D'Amelio and stuff there last year? Because I feel like they were.
Kim was in that full black outfit.
Kim Kardashian is absolutely, for me, lost her style completely. I'm so bored of everything she wears. She was at an event the other day and she had on some like lace floral skin. I'm like, I would be so interested to see her with like no makeup on, like wet hair look. It sounds really awful. A broken cock is like twice a day. I feel like with her fashion, it's like sometimes it works because at that moment in time,
it works.
People are looking at like skin tight stuff. But I'm like, change it up. Yeah. Like, wear something different. Every single thing she wears is so skin tight.
Yeah. Did you see, actually, this morning, she's posted something in this, like, incredible pink gown. Oh, not skin tight.
Oh, yes, oh, that
makeup. Yes. No makeup. She looks amazing. I can't remember. She did tag the designer, but I can't
I kind of stopped in my tracks. Incredible. I love, actually, that being said, that's so funny. The latest Skims advert.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. That was actually incredible. I loved it, that vintage look. And she's, like, got goggle marks as if she's, like, been sunburned. But my favorite ever thing, she did a Vogue cover where she's like got wet hair and she's got no makeup on. And it's so high fashion. It's so stunning. And I just feel like when she had that archival Chanel pink mini jacket on and then just leggings, I'm like, have we not moved past leggings?
Yeah.
And she has so much money. And I shouldn't be so cross about it, but it actually pisses me off. Because I used to love seeing, I like it when people really change up their fashion and it's something new and innovative. And I think that's why social media makes fashion difficult, is like all trends are on trend at the same time. So it is quite hard to look interesting or new.
I think for me, she just switches between too many things. And I think it's because she's trying to find her style since divorcing Kanye. She does talk about it quite a lot on the show. And she's like, I need to make my own style. I need to find it myself. And I think that's why it's so like disconnected at the moment.
Yeah.
That she's just kind of doing a bit of everything and then a bit of Skims and then a bit of, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of backlash with Kylie's.
And
the sizing apparently being just terrible.
Huge. Really?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean massive? Huge?
Well, so like extra small is like drowning for someone who's actually extra small.
I just don't think everyone needs to have a brand.
I agree.
That's what I mean.
And it's nothing. I mean, the leather trench was quite cool, but
I agree. I loved that.
But it's just a baby tee and leggings.
I kind of think this every brand right now is reinventing the world. I think it's actually really hard to be original. I was thinking about this. Yeah. Like, even with art, like I love art and I'm always trying to find like new young artists on Instagram and buy them before they get really expensive. But they're often, it's like, I'll find someone, I'm like, oh, she's got this from here. And it's like, I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's like our collective minds are too full together. I think it is social media.
Everyone's so exposed to what people and people are revealing how they're doing things. Everyone's copying.
Yeah.
But do you think that you must have to be incredibly, like Kylie, a billionaire to actually put a collection out and not know if it's going to do that well?
Yeah. Skims at least kind of is
It was functional.
It had a purpose.
It came from a story of like the shapewear and her like cutting her own shapewear. And like, I actually think it's great quality.
And there isn't actually that much, I think like shapewear, what isn't a saturated market. No. Whereas all the, I mean, I don't know what's the price point for Kylie's brand.
Well, she said it's affordable. Everything's under £200, which I don't, obviously for like an average person is not affordable.
But is it, and what is the quality of it? Is it luxury? Is it sustainable? Is it any?
I think she says it's luxury.
I don't know who the market is for that.
No, that's what I wondered.
But maybe it's because they know that, you know, they can't be doing those Pretty Little deals.
Yeah.
No, I can't really Pretty Little Thing.
Well, having said that, I was recently in an airport coming back from Scotland, and Courtney's, is it Pretty Little Thing, misguided one of those?
Yeah.
Her ad is everywhere in Gatwick. Everywhere.
Really?
And when I was in Scotland, it was everywhere.
She was like the sustainability ambassador.
Well, Boohoo, I can't remember what brand it was.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I can't believe that.
And then, what do you think about the Naomi Campbell? Sorry, probably respect about
this. No, we haven't actually.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I'm really confused by that.
Really confusing.
For people who don't know, Naomi Campbell also did a collab with, which one was
Pretty
it?
Little
Pretty Little Thing.
That came out of nowhere. Yeah, very strange. Some people shouldn't be relatable. I don't want to be able to buy something Naomi Campbell wears. Yeah. I want Naomi Campbell to be like untouchable. I like having tiers of, I think this with like books, I think that every level should be like, you know, some people are like, oh, this book's just like an introduction to feminism. But it's like everyone needs access and then you move up, whatever.
Yeah.
If Naomi Campbell's doing Pretty Little Thing, like what are the people that are like,
we're kind of like,
wow, do you know what I mean? There's something about it that I find, I don't like it. I like having
that
people on every rung of the ladder that you can kind of like look to for different things.
There have been some good collabs recently though, like with Danny and Barbara.
Oh yeah, we're talking about that. Cool. Love that. There've been some cool ones.
Yeah, and actually Barbara as well, they came to the office and they had a collab with Shaun the Sheep, which is so random, but it just worked.
Yeah, it did work.
Really cool.
What else have we had this year? We've had Lucy Stone Island. I thought that was quite
cool. Really cool.
But,
I think there'll be some good
but
collabs
next
year.
But a lot of Gucci collabs, hasn't there?
Yeah. But I think it is quite, I think brands should really push the boat out in terms of collabs. Like, remember Lion Bike did a collab with that sustainable fashion brand, I can't remember. But I love to see things like that.
Like cross-industry
collabs. That is really cool.
I think it's cool.
I'll tell you what was nice was the Ganni and Good Squish. Like Good Squish was probably a bit of a startup in looks.
That's a huge scrunchie.
You know the big scrunchies like that all the girls are wearing? And that would have been a lockdown business that you know, that shows you can do something like that. And you know.
Ganni is really good with their collabs.
They are always
66 good. North and Ganni. Ganni have actually done so well this year.
I feel like they've got a new collab every month, honestly.
They are.
They do that's do really cool. What did you think about the $1 million Louis Vuitton bag, the Pharrell bag?
Which one?
They brought out this bag that's $1 million and it's like yellow and it's got like diamonds.
How is this?
And it's just like, it looks fake because it's obviously so gauche and like so out there and it just fakes. I also just think, how many people out there have £1 million to spend on a bag? It must be way more than we think.
But is it like, is it to create something that's not to be bought? It's like an art thing. Is it for the show? Like, I'm trying to think.
No, comes in four colours, but like, and it's on the website.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that.
And I'm like, there must be so many more rich people than we are. I guess like, we say the 1%, but I guess 1% of the whole population is like quite a few people. I don't know. I'm like, who is buying stuff? It's so crazy.
Because I really enjoyed his first and like, I guess second shows that he did and like the vibe that he's taking the brand. And that to me just feels really left field. Like it doesn't make sense.
It's strange, isn't it?
Okay, Pros we're loving. And Oni, what are you loving right now?
Okay, this is really basic. But I've spent a lot of my life looking for the perfect concealer. And one day I was like getting to the end of my money that month, but I'd run out of concealer. So I ran into Superdrug and I bought the concealer that I used when I was 12. And I have not looked back. That was about 8 months ago. It's the Maybelline Instant Anti-Age Eraser Multi-Use Concealer. I got the 01. I use it on my spots. I use it under my eyes. I use it, today I have got foundation on, but mostly day to day I put on a primer and this, just in like little areas. It is the best thing that was ever invented. I don't know why it's so good. And also, because it's got the little brush, you can take it out on a night out. You just dab, dab, and it's a bargain. So that is like 100% number one thing.
Anything else?
My second thing is this Tarlet jacket, which I have on, which I got because I saw this girl on my road wearing the Frankie Shop one. I kind of like chased her down the road and was like, where's your coat from? She was like, Frankie Shop. I looked it up and it was really expensive. And then I saw Grace doing Instagram stories about this. So I was like, I'll buy that. But it's not my normal style. I'm normally like a big fur coat or like a belt. I'm always like a smarter jacket kind of person. Anyway, got this and I haven't actually
worn. Is it reversible?
It's reversible and it has the biggest pockets you've ever seen, so much so that I don't use a handbag anymore. My third thing is another, I don't let myself buy AirPods because I lose everything all the time. And I normally buy like little cheap headphones on Amazon because I lose them. And then I dropped a pair into the road the other day, classic me. So then I bought these. They were honestly like $14.99 or something. They look like AirPods. They sound like AirPods. And they're just on Amazon. And I can find you the link. But they're so good because I refuse to pay £300. And these look like AirPods.
And they've even got a little analog screen.
So that is my... And they're a bit like... They're a bit pearlescent. So they're even nicer. So that's my top three.
Brilliant.
Sat, what are you loving?
Well, I bought this thing. I can't remember if it was on TikTok shop or on Amazon. But it's basically a thing to clean your brushes with. So it comes with like a little rubber bowl with like ribs on it so that you can like scrub your brushes. And then it comes with this little thing that you could just hook onto like a hanger thing to dry them. So you can just pop them in this basket and it just dries. And I did that last night. So good. Because I've been getting really spotty. I'm like, why am I getting so spotty? I'm like, I haven't washed my brushes for ages. So I did it last night.
I hate
so
washing my brushes.
Handy.
I know.
My top trick is put them in a pillowcase and then shove a towel in and it literally washes them so well.
I did that a few times, but I told a makeup artist this the other day and she was like, don't fucking do that.
Really?
It's really bad for your brushes.
But the reason I hate washing them is then you've got like, you've got a fat gen, right? So I've got to wash them, got to wait for them to dry. That's like 3 days without brushes.
Well, that's why I got this thing because you just do it before you go to, I literally just
before I dry it quickly?
Yeah, overnight. I just put it in that little, it's because it's got little holes in it. So it just hangs in that basket and it dries overnight.
Anyway, it's great. We'll obviously put the link in our description below. It's great. The other one is a Instagram follow called You Belong In This. And it's basically this person who's taken all of Taylor Swift's like outfits and fashioned them up. So like she's put them in like the new... Phoebe Philo collection and like made her fashion girly and it is the best thing. I think it got picked up by Vogue actually, but just check it out. She
and
looks
it's
incredible.
Like You Belong With Me.
They play on the song, but she's there. She like photoshops like really cute outfits on her and I honestly think Taylor Swift needs to hire her as a stylist.
I kind of love that Taylor Swift, as far as I understand, has like absolutely no stuff.
Yeah 100%.
I kind of like love it.
No, I love
it's
it
like,
as well.
How are you walking around like that and like why?
Who's dressing
She's just
her?
So happy about
she dresses
it.
Herself.
It's so random. I honestly
love it.
Every now and then she'll have like quite a good outfit on.
Yeah.
But most of the time I'm thinking
quite rogue.
This is so funny.
But that's really why this sweet. Page
it kind
is so
of,
good.
It just works,
isn't it?
It's also she actually does dress differently from everyone else.
Yeah. Love but yeah, it. Check out this page. It's really good. Like if she was a fashion gal, this would be her. So love it. Daisy, how about you?
It was the Wales Bonnet Adidas collab.
Oh, so good.
Obsessed with absolutely everything. It's not my price range, but no. I can aspire.
Yeah.
So yeah, loving that at the moment. Also, I've been going on about this, but I got myself a Lumi ice bath this weekend.
Oh yes, I was just telling them about it.
Where is that?
It's really the wrong season, but I've been wanting one for ages and they accidentally, I don't know if it was a PR move. They sent a email to their whole database being like, oh, we're just forwarding the staff discount for all your family and friends. And it was like a 45% discount. So I thought, oh, quickly, I'll do that.
But what is a Lumi ice bath? Sorry.
So it's like you just plunge into it. Yeah. So it's so easy. It was like, it's literally the size of...
Like a baby bar.
Yeah. It's very small. It's quite low down. And you just put these four rods in and then you have a little hand pump to pump up the top bit. So it was so easy to take in and out. So that's going to be the new thing. Going to do ice plunges. And then I feel like mango is... giving quite a lot at the moment. This season's party wear is really nice. They've got some really nice flower chokers.
Oh yes, I did see that.
And there's sort of really nice long slit skirts. So their party wear is quite cool.
The High Street is really good for party wear. We're actually doing edit on the LG Hub.
So great. Well, all of our products will be linked below and everything we've spoken about. But Anoni, it's been great to have you on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry, I never stopped talking.
And do check out Anoni's book, Bad Influence. It was so good.
So
I'm excited that you're going to be writing again.
Hopefully.
Also, with our new set, we're going to link everything that's going on here because we've got some really cute new bits. So if you want to know anything, put it look in the description because we'll put it
exactly.
There.
Big shout out to The Go-To. Big shout out to Pookie. We've got some gorgeous lamps arriving very soon. So they'll be on the next
very
pod. Who else?
Anthropology.
Yeah, Anthropology. Given these gorgeous rugs. And we've got some more exciting bits coming. So the set's
keep an eye out. We'll do a proper rundown and everything maybe in the next podcast when everything's here.
Yeah.
But keep an eye out.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves
without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.